You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. Responsibly.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Lobontoni. My Cubs collapsed. I told you. Didn't make the playoffs.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. That stinks. How'd the Bears do?
Worse.
Better?
Worse. Really? You know, The Cubs were a year early, maybe.
Yeah.
They should have gotten in. They had a 90% chance, according to fan graphs or any of that dumb stuff. But the Bears, you know, I sat there for a half an hour after the game. I was there. I couldn't move. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just sat in an empty Soldier Field angry, and now I'm getting angry thinking about it.
Yeah, that's a real healthy way to go through life. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Bears blow it, USC escapes Colorado, and James Harden no-shows media day. But we begin today with the NFL. The Buffalo Bills decisively beat the Miami Dolphins yesterday 48-20, and the San Francisco 49ers, behind four touchdowns from Christian McCaffrey, beat the Arizona Cardinals 35-16. Well, Bonnie, after yesterday, do you make the Bills and the 49ers the best teams in each conference through week four?
Well, the 49ers, yes, Tony, because as you know, Philadelphia struggled with the Washington team, needed overtime to win that game, and really could have lost, maybe should have lost that game. The 49ers, but I'm going to say this, the 49ers, people will just look at the results, and it's the Cardinals. The Cardinals are competitive. The Cardinals are tougher than people think. And I thought the Cardinals played pretty well yesterday. And, you know, the 49ers just, you know, put the smack down on them. Listen, when you have a coaching staff that knows how to use McCaffrey, I mean, McCaffrey was not a special. He was a nice player early in his career. He's special now in that system, in that offense, with the way they know how to use him. And defensively, the 49ers could be the best. I look, Philadelphia may, you know, bump back up there. I'm not so sure about Buffalo. I don't know that I want to make Buffalo, like, that big a favorite over Kansas City now, even though Kansas City struggled with the Jets. The Jets defense actually showed up yesterday and did what was promised all season by all the alleged pundits. I'll narrowly go with Buffalo, and I will say yes to the 49ers.
Yeah. So I want to point out, and it's important to note, this is after week four. It's a quarter of the season.
Right.
Football coaches, as you know, Mike, divide the season into quarters. And the team that is the best in the first quarter does not automatically become the best in the fourth quarter. Let's take the Tampa Bay Rays in baseball as an example. They were torrid out of the gate. But then Baltimore caught them and passed them. And Tampa's in the playoffs, but they're in the playoffs as a wild card. Having used those words of caution, I do think these are the two best teams at the moment. Let me just say they are legitimate Super Bowl aspirants, as are Kansas City, as are Philadelphia, and maybe as complete outsiders, let's just say Dallas and Detroit or something like that. And at the moment, Mike, I've got San Francisco ahead of Buffalo.
Yep.
This kid, Brock Purdy, the last pick in the draft, he was 20 of 21 yesterday. No picks, a touchdown, 283 yards. He's 9-0 as a starter. He's 12-0 when he finishes. And the last pick in the draft, Buffalo. We may look back at the end of the season, Mike, and say that the Jets beating Buffalo in the first Monday night game was the total outlier of the season. Buffalo's killing people now. Their last three games, They've won 123 points to 33. It's plus 90 in three games. And they held Miami to 20. Miami had 70 the week before. Miami was averaging 43. I would just say that these are not surprise teams. They were in the playoffs last year.
No. Buffalo is going
they're not
Buffalo.
Surprises.
They're doing what they're supposed to do.
That's right.
That initial loss appears to have awoken them, and good for them.
Surprise teams, Houston and Tampa Bay. You go,
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what? Yeah.
Let's move to the notable losers from yesterday. The aforementioned Bears had a 21-point lead over the Broncos late in the third before collapsing, falling to 0-4. The Bengals are now 1-3 after getting blown out by the Titans, and the Patriots pulled Mac Jones, Belichick did, in a 38-3 trouncing by the Cowboys, the most lopsided loss of Belichick's career. Tony, of the three, which was the worst?
Okay, so the worst loss is the Bengals. They're not competitive against Tennessee. It's the worst loss, Mike, because they're the only team of the three that was a legitimate Super Bowl aspiring team. The other two are obviously not. And they had a quarterback who most of us thought was the next great quarterback in Joe Burrow. He got hurt. He's not 100%. He can't run. It's going to inform the entire season. The statistics, Mike, are terrible. He has 728 yards on 150 pass attempts. That's 4.8 per attempt. That's 34th among quarterbacks. It's awful. The Bears aren't the worst loss because the Bears stink. But the worst decision by a coach maybe ever, you'll go over this, I'm sure. They're tied 28-28. Yeah. They're on the Broncos' 18-yard line with 2:57 to go left in the game, 4th-and-1, and he goes. What? You have to kick the go-ahead field goal. You have to do that, and if you don't do that, and it's your 14th loss in a row, people could be saying goodbye. But I'll make this part of it brief. My heart goes out to the Patriots as honestly the worst loss, Mike, because they really have a good coach, and their quarterback isn't dragging his calf around. You know, and they don't stink, and right now they're in the ooze. They're in the ooze.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots losing, maybe there's Patriots fatigue because they were so great for so long. Get them out of here. I'm going to dismiss the Bengals too, Tony, because Joe Burrow's hurt. He's hurt. And then the season may be lost, Tone, but he's injured. So there's an asterisk there.
That's right.
Fields is not injured. And by the way, you marveled over Purdy going 20 for 21. I think Justin Fields was 23 for 24, including a team record 16 for 16 to start the game. All right? He was
on fire. Yeah, he was just bad at the end.
Fire.
He was great at the beginning,
but Tony,
bad at the end.
You know what? Yeah. It shows you the difference between San Francisco and the coaching Purdy's getting and the coaching that Fields is not getting. I know Fields had the strip fumble. That was a bad coaching call. Worse than not kicking the field goal was the 4th-and-1 play, Tony, where they try to draw him off sides, then they call a timeout. They're indecisive. Look, I say this. It's tough for me to say this. I don't normally do this over my career, 40-plus years doing this. If I woke up this morning and I ran or owned, the Chicago Bears, I would have fired that coach and Luke Getsy, his general manager, out. Because, Tony, what I'm looking at is there are players out there. DJ Moore is a hell of a receiver. They got back. The line is not what it should be, and that may be the GM Ryan Poles' fault. But they're wasting Justin Fields. And now there's a lookout for Caleb Williams. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is and how great he was in college if your coaching staff is inadequate. The Bears coaches this morning should have been asked to clear their offices.
We move now to the NBA, where the disgruntled James Harden did not show up at the 76ers media day, but that was predictable. The bigger NBA story is Boston trading away Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams III, and 2 number 1 picks down the road for Drew Holiday, who didn't even have to unpack in Portland. Wilbon, did the Celtics just bypass the Bucks by landing Holiday?
No, Tony, because the Celtics were sort of committed in terms of offseason preparation, just before camp preparation, coaching preparation, to a large lineup with Rob Williams. I know he gets hurt a lot. So does Porzingis, the guy they got. Rob Williams probably actually plays more than Porzingis. But they were looking at how to play large. And I think what they did was something that was corrective, in that, to me, it was really dumb to get rid of Marcus Smart, the heart and soul of your team, a guy who can lead, who can make plays, who can challenge teammates defensively, ball handling, late in games, muscle, sheer muscle. It was dumb to get rid of him. And now they went and got Drew Holiday, which actually addresses some of what you lost in Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
So I'll applaud that. And I applaud the Celtics for trying to get better because they've been close but not there. But I don't know that they passed Milwaukee. And Tony, I don't know about Milwaukee because they too have to replace what Drew Holiday did, and that's not what Dame does. That's not why Dame is famous. That's not why Dame has got $60 million or more in the last year of a contract. Dame is one of the great scorers anytime in the NBA, but he doesn't do what Drew Holiday did specifically. So I don't know about either one of them. I don't. I got questions. It's impressive. Yeah. It's fun to talk about. I got questions.
We've talked about this off air, and we differ a little bit on the edges. I don't really care who you send away. I care about who you get back. And who the Celtics got back was Marcus Smart, but better. Because Holiday's better than Marcus Smart, and he's a fantastic defender. I don't care about the draft picks down the road if they're number 28, 29, or 30 because you won a championship. I don't care about that. So what essentially happened was this. Malcolm Brogdon, the Celtics didn't want him anymore, and he didn't really want to be there anymore. So they essentially traded Robert Williams III for a great lead guard in Jrue Holiday. Robert Williams hardly ever plays, so I think 30 teams out of 30 would make that trade. The question now becomes, is Porzingis any good? And as you say, can he get on the court any more than Robert Williams? Because neither of them actually, they don't actually get on the court. But I'm totally confident in this, Mike, that both those teams are way ahead right now of Miami and Philadelphia.
Yeah, yes.
Way
yes.
ahead. I mean, Damian Lillard is a drop-dead clutch scorer. And Jrue Holiday on that team is going to be like a great lead guard.
Like a great fit. Tony, real quickly, I agree with your bottom line on these situations. I got a little bit more in the way of questions than you may have. But if you're Philadelphia is on the clock. If you're Joel Embiid and you're watching this play out with Harden, where he's not in camp and they haven't traded him, and I don't know how much leverage he has. Perk had a great line saying Harden's leverage was he doesn't care. And when you don't care, you're a dangerous character. And Perk is so right
Tony. He's a festering sore.
If you're Embiid.
And they have to move him quickly.
Yes, they do.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Colorado gave USC a game, but was that the most compelling college result of the weekend?
And what lessons should Team USA take from its Ryder Cup loss?
Like, I don't want to get in the weeds. The season hasn't started, and I don't care about it now. I care about baseball playoffs and football, but you've got to get rid of James Harden.
Yes.
No, you have to.
You have to. Can't have him around. Can't win with him.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Time to find out what's moving the masses in mail time. I'm going to get the first
mail
one,
time.
Mike. Here we go. Which college football result did you find most compelling?
Tone, I didn't find, unlike last weekend, where there were a slew of games that were compelling, I didn't find that many this week compelling. I just didn't. Only one game stuck out to me, and that was the Colorado USC game. And again, when the sitting Heisman Trophy winner, and there's only been two, one time as the guy won twice the Heisman, when Caleb Williams goes out there and throws six touchdowns and Colorado comes back and makes it close, and I was at a game. I was at Northwestern Penn State. So I just see the score, and I'm going, what? Caleb Williams makes a compelling tone. He does. I'm biased. I love him. I want to see him win again, but he makes it compelling.
All right. So from a perspective of the national championship, the most significant score was LSU losing to Mississippi. That's two losses. They're out of the playoffs now. from a sort of what's going on here standpoint, it was Georgia having to come back against Auburn.
Yeah.
Georgia's living on the edge.
Yeah, they are.
Georgia was down in the second half to South Carolina and down also
lost votes
to Auburn
because of it
from
too.
Its a savior season perspective.
Yeah.
Clemson going into Syracuse and winning comfortably and Notre Dame going to Duke and finally winning. But if it's from I'm sitting in the couch and I'm not getting up till this game is over,
right,
it's USC and
yes,
Colorado.
Of course it is.
And if there is such a thing as a moral victory, Colorado had it. Because, Mike, at one point in that game, the cumulative score in the last 2 weeks with USC and Oregon was 90-27
yeah,
against Colorado.
Yeah.
That comeback was a big deal.
Thank you for keeping me up to date because your text woke me up.
I was like, whoa, what we got going on here? What
lessons
should Team USA take from its loss at the Ryder Cup?
The usual lesson, Tony, for all of our sports nationally, if we don't do as well as we think we should, which is less arrogance, less. And mine goes to before. I'm not going to get into the Joe LaCava. I'm okay with all that. It's the Ryder Cup. They're supposed to be angry at each other, point, scream, wave your hat. I don't care about that. 9 of the 12 people on the United States roster did not play a competitive round of golf after the Tour Championship. All 12 of the European players played competitive golf after that. They were ready. We were not. We didn't take it as seriously as they do. Oh, wait. We got basketball coming, though. Oh, well, maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. So lesson number one is try to practice alternate shot. We lost 7-1 in alternate shot.
Yeah.
And at one point, Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler lost 9-7. They had
that
between them a 41 on the front.
Amazing.
A 41, Mike. That's ridiculous. Lesson number two is pick better captain's picks. Koepka, Spieth, Thomas, Sam Burns, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, they stunk the joint out. They were 4-12-4 overall. Nobody won more than one match, and Spieth and Fowler didn't win any. And lesson number three, Mike, is get a charismatic player leader like Rory McIlroy. Go out and offer him United States citizenship today, because that actually matters.
He's already
we
doing
don't have
right.
anybody
Listen,
like
Florida.
That. We
well,
don't
yes,
have anybody
do.
Like that.
Yes, we do. His name is Eldrick Woods. You think he can't be the next captain at least?
Okay. Yes, make
Go
him the captain
him.
Then.
Beg
Enough
him.
Email.
Go get him.
Let's take one last break. You won't have to beg him. He'll do it. Still to come, the baseball playoffs are set.
As are the WNBA finals. Less arrogance, Tone. And Zach Johnson.
It didn't work. It just
Luke
it
Donald,
did
on
not
the other hand.
Work.
Northwestern's
Impressive.
Own. Luke Donald worked. Luke
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 78th birthday yesterday, Rod Carew. We marveled at Ichiro's career the other day. Ichiro finished with a career average of 311. Carew, 328.
Woo!
The Hall of Famer was an 18-time All-Star for the Twins and the Angels. He won 7 batting titles, posting a 388 average in 1977, which helped win him the AL MVP. But Carew never won a postseason series. The Twins are in the playoffs this year, despite their record-breaking 1,608 team strikeouts, a tendency that irks Carew. He told the Minneapolis Star Tribune earlier this summer that his contact-based all-fields approach to hitting doesn't count anymore in modern baseball.
It doesn't count, Tony, and it's sad. It's one of the many reasons why baseball, and it's great Theo Epstein's trying to get activity like this back in the game, but baseball's not as good. It's not as entertaining as it was when Rod Carew was there. And I loved when Harry Caray would, for some reason, say he'd walk into a bar and just like to say to everybody there, "My name is Rod Carew." I don't know what that meant, but it sounded cool when I was a kid.
You've told me that for years and years. It always makes me smile. Happy anniversaries to Sandy Koufax and Bob Gibson. On this day 60 years ago, Koufax struck out a World Series record 15 Yankees in a Game 1 win. The Dodgers would go on to sweep that series. 5 years later, again on October 2nd, Bob Gibson broke Koufax's record when he struck out 17 Tigers in a matchup that pitted him against Denny McClain, who'd won 31 games that season. The Cards won that game, but the Tigers won the series in seven because of Mickey Lolich.
What did I just say? Do people think that seeing three or four relievers each team is as good, as entertaining, as compelling as seeing Koufax and Gibson? No, baseball's not as good. Get angry. Yes, I'm an old man. Get off my lawn. Get off the diamond. Koufax, Gibson. Let's see more of that.
Yeah, that's magic. A melancholy trails to Tim Wakefield. The knuckleballer died over the weekend, reportedly of brain cancer at the age of 57. Wakefield was drafted by the Pirates as a first baseman, but he converted to pitcher after mastering a knuckleball that his father taught him as a kid. Wakefield went on to win 200 games, 186 of them for the Red Sox. He spent 17 of his 19 seasons in Boston, and he was part of two World Series winners, including the team that broke the curse. No pitcher has ever started more games or thrown more innings for that franchise, and only Carl Yastrzemski, Ted Williams, and Dwight Evans played for them longer.
And Tony, when you're on a list at the top of the list after Cy Young and Roger Clemens for that franchise, talk about somebody whose career probably wasn't appreciated enough. And when I heard some of these things yesterday, I just went, wow. I mean, we watched Tim Wakefield his whole career and did not realize and not appreciate him being that good.
And sadly, another melancholy trails to Russ Francis, another Boston legend. The former tight end died in a plane accident at the age of 70. Francis made three Pro Bowls for the Patriots in the 70s before abruptly retiring before the 1981 season amid a dispute with the team. Bill Walsh talked him out of retirement a year later, and he won a Super Bowl with the Niners in 1984 before finishing his career back in New England.
Tony, he played in the shadow of some great tight ends like Kellen Winslow and Ozzie Newsome, but he was a terrific player himself, not in the Hall of Fame, and I know people can come down either side of those things, but a player of impact, and obviously if Bill Walsh wants you late, he must see some value even then.
Mike, I know you're moved by this as I am, that you lose, if you are from that area, the New England area, and you lose Tim Wakefield
and you lose
Russ Francis, and you had this bad weekend where the Patriots were not competitive, and this is actually the day that Bucky Dent's home run beat the Red Sox. And I can imagine there's a gloom about this.
Yeah.
They get past it in the middle of the week, but there's a gloom in Boston and New England, right? There's a gloom
Absolutely.
Today. We are running out of show when we go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Khalil Mack, your boy.
Yeah.
He had six sacks against the Raiders. I'll bet you're impressed.
Oh, yeah, we got rid of him because he couldn't get to the quarterback anymore. Wonder how many times we sacked Russell Wilson yesterday. I don't remember any. The Vikings beat the Panthers for the first win of the season. Theirs. Significant?
Well, I mean, they beat a terrible team. The Panthers are terrible. But let me put it the other way. Had they lost to the Panthers and gone 0-4, that would be more significant because it would be the end for the Vikings, as we've understood them for a few years now. The Liberty and the Aces advance to the WNBA Finals. I'll bet you're excited.
I'm excited. I'd be really excited if the series could actually start and end before November. Somehow the schedule maker decided it was okay to wait until next Sunday to start the series. Sorry, that's awful. The Mets fired Buck Showalter. Deserved?
I don't know if it's deserved. It's reasonable. He was the victim of unwise spending. Last one. Four wild card series start tomorrow. Which one excites you the most?
Tony, Texas, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Minnesota, Miami, Philly. Nope, I don't care about those. Diamondbacks at Milwaukee. That's what I'm going to keep my eye on.
Following your own division, we are out of time.
We'll
try and do better the next time. Brandon Mack, plumber extraordinaire, thank you. Shout out.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We are bumped to the deuce the next 2 days, knuckleheads. Now to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's Scott Van Pelt.